Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God has blessed us once again, and as I often say, God is good. And all the time, God is good. We are so very happy and thrilled to see everyone this morning. You know, we didn't have to see each other this morning. But God has seen fit to let us still be here, although some that were with us on last week are not with us this week. But God has seen fit to allow us to be here. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing, a very familiar text. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. It is not going to be a message totally about the church, but we have to include the church because the church is what is the same one that Jesus built. And we must talk about it from time to time to give you a reminder, if we might, that you remember, that brings to your remembrance of why we're here and what we're here, who we're here because of. This morning, before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. O righteous Father, which art in heaven, we are blessed this morning once again. We are blessed because you gently shook us this morning and awakened us from our sleeping and our slumbering. We thank you, O Lord, for the gentleness of your touch. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the breakfast that we chose to eat or not eat, but that you gave to us anyway. Father, we thank you for the church of Christ, the one that your Son died for. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung on yonder's cross, that he may purchase the church of Christ. We thank you this morning that we are members of that same body, O Lord. And we thank you this morning that we can stand up and proudly proclaim, I am a member of the church of Christ. Let us proclaim that from the high hills and the mountaintops. Let us just be in remembrance that you are wonderful, O Lord, and we thank you for everything you do for us. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families that they might continue to be a servant to you, O Lord, and a servant to the church. We pray for those men and brethren that have had parts in the services thus far. And we pray for their families and that those who shall come beyond this point, that they might also be blessed. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this day in which you have given us. Father, we haven't seen many like this in this season called summer, but nevertheless, you are in charge of the weather, and we thank you for it. Father, we thank you that all who are here may be here to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that the message as delivered might help someone along the way. Father, we thank you and we pray for those who are sick and shut in. We pray that if it be your will, O Lord, that they may get better and be able to be with us once again. We pray for those families who have lost loved ones recently. We pray that if it be your will, you would give them strength to carry on. Father, we thank you for everything. We thank you for those parents who are raising their children. We pray for them, O Lord, because life is not easy nowadays. And we thank you that you give them the patience and the courage and the wisdom to raise their children up in the admonition of the Lord. Father, we pray for our leaders in this world, those who make decisions about our everyday life. We pray that they make the right decision and that they not hinder us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything that you do for us. And it is from this congregation this morning, O Lord, that we are about to serve thee. And we pray that from this point on, Lord, that the worship service that we offer you may be found decent and in order and acceptable in thy sight. Thank you for everything, Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. Now, as I shall repeat, Matthew 16 and verse number 18 says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus, a man of truth. Jesus is a man of his word. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Unlike humans who oftentimes have a hard time keeping or getting their facts right when they say things, we tell half truth and represent them as total truths, when in reality a half truth is nothing more than a whole lie. Politicians come to mind when I had that thought. They impress upon us the things that they will do for us if we but simply give them our vote. And usually as soon as they are elected, they forget the promises made. Jesus is a man of truth. What he tells us either has already come to pass or it will be coming sooner rather than later. This morning, once again, Jesus, a man of truth. In that text, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, "I will build my church." The church that Jesus built is different from any of the created churches of men, for it cannot be destroyed. Yes, the building can be burned or leveled to the ground, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church has been persecuted against. It has been hated by men, mainly for telling the truth. But through it all, the church still stands, reaching out to lost souls in a very dark and dismal world. Jesus told the truth when he said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." How can the church stand through all of what it goes through? Somebody may ask. I'll tell you how. Because Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Without the truth of Jesus, the church would simply have gone away. Every building must have a cornerstone. And the building is only as strong as the cornerstone of that building. The church that men build, none have what the church that Christ built and spoke of in Matthew 16 and 18 has. Men add members to their church while the Lord adds them to his church. How do you know this? Somebody may say, well, because the word of God tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." A good word put in by another person has no need to be sought after in Christ's church. Paul put it in this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. He said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase." Only God can add to the church because it is his church. He told the truth about building his church. He told the truth when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When you think about it, when you look at it, this matter in all, you ask yourself the question, do I want to be in a church that man built or created, or the church that Christ built? And obviously this morning, many of you are here because you believe God's word. You believe in what God has said. Jesus told the truth when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus told the truth when he said, "I am the way." The way to what, somebody may ask? Well, in John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Christ is the beginning, the middle, and the end. So is his truth. It is his truth that guides our way. He is the end of life. He is the only true and living way to life everlasting. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 20. "By a new and living way which he inaugurated for us, the veil that is his flesh." When I look at this matter and I dig a little deeper into this, Jesus is the only way we can get to God the Father. Jesus takes us to Him, and God accepts us because of His Son's sake. Jesus spoke the truth of going to prepare a place for us in John 14, 2 and 3. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. God is good this morning. Now, when you look at that text, this is a three-part promise. It's all based on the truth. Number one, He went to prepare a place. Number two, He promised to receive us. And number three, that we may also be with Him. Would you rather believe men who lie or Christ who speaks the truth? No man can match the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not calling anyone a liar this morning, but you can't match the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, we say things from time to time. We say things that we just can't support. We put ourselves sometimes on a pedestal above everyone else, and we think to ourselves that I'm going to boost myself up. I'm going to be better than the next person. But you cannot be. God made us all equally. A man, I read just a few days ago, a man said that he was touched by the hands of a musician rather than the hand of God. Yet this musician has not everlasting life. He has no prepared place to put this man. Nor does he offer hope, but Christ does offer all of these things and more for all who believe in Him. Jesus spoke and speaks the truth. He spoke the truth when He said, I will give you rest. As humans, we share many of the same characteristics that with each other. We all need air to breathe, our oxygen to breathe. We all need food and water to live. We all have blood running through our veins. And believe it or not, we all need the Lord. Many won't admit to needing the Lord. They won't make that admission because they say that it's me that takes care of me. Well, they may not say it, but that's what they mean. Now, I found life to be funny sometimes. But I know that each and every day that we live, we should be thankful to God, and we should know that tomorrows are not promised to us. When you say, I will see you on tomorrow, you're saying, I hope to see you tomorrow. Because God has not made any promises that you shall see tomorrow. Those tomorrows are not promised unto us, but if we do see tomorrow, we owe it all to God. Sometimes the burdens of this life are so hard that we can't handle them all alone. When this happened, the Lord offers us relief in Matthew 11 and verse number 28, where the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the only answer to those who are heavily laden. We can cast our burdens upon Him and rest from our faults, our infirmities, and our iniquities. When Satan has put more burdens on us than we can bear, Jesus tells us of His truth. And upon Him, He said, I will give you rest. It may not come when in the way we want it, but He speaks the truth. But it'll come when He wants it to. He speaks of rest that remains for the people of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9. But for the wicked, the psalmist wrote, upon the wicked he shall rain snares of fire and brimstone in Psalms chapter 11 and verse number 6. And I say this morning, if you are afraid of the truth, then you might not want to listen to Jesus. But if you want to think, if you want truth, you must come to Jesus. You must come to Him for help, for peace, and for joy. For He said in Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave nor forsake you. His truth can guide us safely through the storms of life into eternal life. As the title of one of the songs we sing often around here, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there having no burdens to bear? Won't it be wonderful there, church? If you want to go there, I'd like to see if you want to go there, I'd like to see you smile a little bit. Don't fall asleep on me now. Stay with me just for a few more minutes and I'll be done. I got just a little bit more to put out this morning and then I'll be finished and you can go about your day. But I'd like for you to know one thing, that Jesus never tells a lie. He always tells the truth. And back to Matthew 16 and 18, where He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you're in the Lord's church, and I'm not going to knock, but I'm only going to speak what the Bible said. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, my means it's His, isn't that right? And when you look at, if you say my dress or my pants, you are saying they belong to me. So why can't everybody see that when He says my church, that He means that this is His church and it ought to bear His name, not somebody else's name? At last, when our time here on this earth is over, we shall know Jesus always spoke the truth, for He will be there to shepherd His sheep home. The psalmist said the Lord will be there to comfort us through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen and hear the truth as only Jesus offered it before it's too late. For the time will come when we can't do anything for our souls or about our souls. So now is the time, as we make our way through the land of the dying to the land of the living. When I think about it, when Jesus spoke the truth, as He always does, I go back to that Matthew 16 and 18 once again, where He says, upon this rock I will build my church. But you know, preceding Matthew 16 and 18, look at how He started it off in verse number 17, if you will. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then He goes on to say, but also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And watch verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that says a lot in those three verses, those three scriptures there. When you think about it, Jesus doesn't take all day to say what He means, because He knows what He's going to say. So with that, this morning, you ought to understand something. If you want truth, you want Jesus. If you want lies, and men don't necessarily intentionally tell lies, but they sometimes embellish it, you might call it. But embellishment is just another word for a lie. When you think about it, if I was to tell you and describe myself to you, I'd make myself the best looking man there ever was. If I wanted to tell you how much I have, I would give myself everything. If I wanted you to know how good I am, I would tell you the great things about me. But Jesus is telling the truth always. I'd be telling a lie because I'm not the best looking man. I don't have everything, and I can't do everything. But Jesus told the truth, and he always tells us the truth, where he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And something else that Jesus tells the truth about, and that is everything. Everything he tells the truth about. When I think about how much time we have on this earth, and if we live to be to the right age of 70, we're living for 70 years. That's 25,500 days. But when you break that down, how many of those days have you given unto the Lord if you're already there? If you're not there, you're on your way there, how many days have you given unto the Lord? How many days have you offered yourself to the Lord? How many days will you go on not offering yourself to the Lord? Ask yourself the question once again. If I'm not a believer in Christ, ask yourself, why not? If not, why not? And then if you are a believer in Christ, ask yourself this question. Am I doing right by you, Lord? I often have to question myself about that. I ask myself the question and then ask the Lord that if I'm not, bless me, Lord, to try to do the right thing and continue to do the right thing. And you know, it's hard. It's hard. But as a Christian, thank God you have Jesus on your side. Thank God for the morning that he stretched out his arms and he died on yonder's cross. Thank God for the day that when they took him down off the cross and put him in the tomb. Thank God for the day that he got up and came out of the tomb. Thank God for those days that we live and we breathe Christ. Thank God. Thank God. And for those of you who are not members of the Lord's body, you have an opportunity as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are a member but you walked astray, come back home. Come back home right now as we sing.